Historic preservation is a noble thing, a concerted effort to keep structures from succumbing to entropy and neglect in an attempt to have a material record of civilization. But it's easy to think of preservation as sort of highfalutin, the province of folks with plenty of time and money on their hands. In Indiana, we might consider the massive restoration of the stupendous West Baden Springs Hotel, for example. To be worthy of restoration, though, the building in question need not be the so-called eighth wonder of the world, and the preservationists might be equally unlikely. The longtime residents of a small Jackson County village were drafted into the business of historic preservation rather suddenly.
There was a film production company wanted to burn the schoolhouse down for a scene, and they wanted to pay the church $1,000 to burn the building. And then that's when the people, I think, decided that it's more important and it's more valuable than the $1,000.
Betty Lou Collar has a deep connection to the little school that almost went up in flames.
I almost taught here. I graduated from college, and the School of Education gave us little pink slips where there were openings. I think it was the first three grades I needed a teacher for. And my husband and I drove down here on a Sunday afternoon to look at the school. We decided it was too far.
What year was that?
1962. But then eventually he got the job at the Boy Scout camp, so we moved down here anyway.
Betty Lou is one of several people in rural Jackson County who have gotten involved in the business of historic preservation because of their connection to the schoolhouse where we're chatting on a sunny Saturday afternoon in October. The Houston School opened in 1910 to serve the small population of farm families who lived near this village about 80 miles south of Indianapolis. Vivian McKinney recalled her years at the simple three-room schoolhouse.
In 36, I think it was, I started.
And did you go all the way through eighth grade?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What did your family do around here?
Farmed animals and crops and for the canning factory.
Well, what do you remember most about those days, going to school here?
I don't know. No water, no lights, and much of anything, I don't think. So
there was an outhouse, I guess?
Yeah, right over there now. The stove was just a big, round, great big wood stove. I don't know when they did get electricity. I didn't have it at my home for a long time, but I don't know when they had it here at the school.
So how many kids were in your class when you were here?
There was four grades in that side and four grades on this side. So there wasn't more, five or so probably in each grade. Wasn't a whole lot of kids.
Over the years, fewer people farmed and the population began to dwindle. By the early 1960s, the development of Indiana's largest reservoir further evacuated the area. Though Lake Monroe was needed to provide a water source and control flooding, it literally washed away whole towns in Brown and Jackson counties.
So there were families that had lived here for generations?
Yes.
And then the state came by and said, eminent domain, right? And
yes.
Said, we're going to flood this out to make this lake.
Yes. The creek always flooded, but within a day, it'd be down. And that's about the way it is now when the flood is.
Grace Hayes and Sandy Jester remembered that time.
The farmlands just growed up in brush. The people that did have to leave, so many of them were angry, very, very angry, because the way they went about it, they did not do people right when they bought their land. This gentleman that lived down the road, they made him and his wife move. But anyway, he came back to get some of his belongings out of an outside building, and they were going down the road, and they seen this fire. And when they got there, they were burning his home down, and he died 2 days later. They took him back to Bloomington. He wouldn't eat. He just grieved himself to death, because that was his mother's home and his home. And he was, what, probably in his 70s, late 70s, wasn't he, Gracie? And they just killed him.
Finally, there weren't enough students to keep the Houston School going. It closed in the spring of 1967.
Because of consolidation, all the small outlying schools then were to bust into Brownstown. It became Brownstown Central. So then they closed this one, obviously. But we use it to vote here in the fall, so it's still used, and I'm glad.
In the meantime, though, the school took its lumps.
Well, it wasn't in good shape. The windows was down out, and you could pretty much go in anywhere you wanted to. I mean, you know, it was getting bad shape.
Things hit rock bottom around 1990 when the film crew offered $1,000 to burn the old wooden school down. It turned out to be a wake-up call for Houston School alumni. That sound would be the start of the Greased Pig Contest, one of the many old-timey attractions of an annual festival created to raise funds to restore the old school.
There's a story about a bear, one called Old Slewfoot.
Since 1994, the second Saturday of October has been Houston Fall Festival Day, a chance to gather on the school grounds on the edge of the Hoosier National Forest for live bluegrass, a cakewalk, bean soup and homemade desserts, and carriage rides through what remains of the village. Proceeds from the event go to fix up the old school.
We're still restoring it. Each year we have a big project. We need to finish the roof right now. I think the next project will be the floors and strip them and refinish the flooring. But they are working on the ceiling. We got new restrooms a couple years ago. We got the ramp, and that helps us keep our boating out here because we have the handicap ramp now.
The schoolhouse is open during the festival. You can sit with some of the old-timers and eat your bean soup or apple pie in the light-filled, high-ceilinged main classroom with the portrait of George Washington looking down at you from above the chalkboard. And imagine what it was like to attend school almost 100 years ago in this small farming community. Thelma Kreider came to Houston around 1950.
See, we're trying to redo the ceiling like that. That's the way they were in the beginning.
That pressed tin or something?
Well, yeah, it's tin. Uh-huh. And that's the way it was before. Mm-hmm. We're trying to redo it like it was before.
Yeah, that's my youngest baby.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Yael Cassander.